You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello everyone and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Buns. My name is Dave Kellner and I'm joined on the line ahead of a big weekend of boxing action by the legend Steve Buns, ahead of a couple of fights this weekend. James DeGale taking on Chris Eubank and Joe Joyce versus Ben Stiverne. And we'll also talk about William Hill's global ambassador, Anthony Joshua, who fights Jarrell Miller in the not-too-distant future. First of all, a warm welcome onto the podcast, Bunsy.
Thanks very much. A global ambassador. That's not bad, is it? A gold medalist, world champion, and global ambassador.
Listen, I work for William Hill, Bunsy. I've got to mention it. It's in my contract.
No, I think, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with me. I'd love to be a global ambassador. I'd love to be a domestic ambassador. I'd love to be the North Warwickshire and South Yorkshire ambassador. That would do me. the ambassador for Peckham.
Bunsy, I know you've been soaking up the pre-fight atmosphere ahead of James DeGale versus Chris Eubank, and it has been chaos.
It's been great.
James DeGale's 11-10 to win the fight here with William Hill. The draw is 16-1. Chris Eubank Jr. Is 5-6. We've got enhancements on the website as well. Eubank Jr. to win by decision or technical decision was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 7-2. DeGale to win by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification was 13-2. That's been 9-1. Is there genuine bad blood between these two, Bunsy, or is it all for show and for the cameras?
No, they don't like each other. I mean, some people get confused with the so-called hype, and these two just don't like each other. It's not that they need to be protected by armed guards from each other, or as has happened in the past, do their press conferences in separate hotels, or have wire mesh or bulletproof glass down the middle of a table. No, it's not that kind of hate. They just don't like each other. And what they've done is they've created a narrative for this fight, which is really good. And it's basically, if I lose to him, I've got nowhere to go. And if I lose to him, I've got nowhere to go. So they haven't said my career's over. They haven't said we're too old, I've got nothing left to give. What they've said is if I can't beat him, then I don't deserve to go forward. Now, that creates an interesting situation if the fight was close, if it's a split decision, or if it's a draw, or if one of them just wins, but only wins by a round or two, and it's a fair decision. I think they're both right in some ways, because if they want to move on and get some of the super fights that are out there at middleweight, super middle, and there are some super fights out there at the moment, because Golovkin might be in that mix soon, and there's every chance that Callum Smith, the British guy that holds a version of the world title, be in that mix. There'll be some big fights out there for men of 11 stone to 12 stone, really. The winner here gets to rumble and gets to get in that mix. The loser here has to fight the guys below. Now, what that means is a massive reduction in pay. So in that sense, they're fighting for their financial futures, not necessarily their boxing futures. And nothing motivates a fighter like the idea that you might lose out on a $4 million payday, trust me.
I think this is interesting from a tactical perspective as well, because when DeGale's at his very best, he's a slick mover, and he's got intelligent footwork, etc., etc. And Eubank, in his two losses against Billy Joe Saunders, which admittedly was 5 years ago, and George Groves last year, he's been criticised for lacking tactical nous. I think this is an interesting fight from that perspective.
Yeah, it is, because the simple way to interpret this fight is if James DeGale's got 50%, 70%, all of those impossible figures that you can't really equate, if he's got enough left, he wins. Mm. Just like George Groves won quite comfortably and surprisingly last year. DeGale, in his theory, does the same thing. But Eubank is banking on DeGale having lost a bit, and Eubank tells you that, and DeGale acknowledges that. DeGale acknowledges that he doesn't know really what he's got left. He thinks that he's in the best condition he's been in for years. He feels fresher than he's felt for years. But he's sensible enough and wise enough to realise that once the first bell sounds, he's not really sure what he's got left. He's not 100% sure what he's got left, because fight circumstances are different. than what you can try and reproduce in the ring. I saw him yesterday, and I've got to tell you, he looked fresher. He sounded fresher than I've seen him for several years. I mean, an awful lot of years. He's been struggling with various injuries over the last 4 or 5 years. Winning fights, don't get me wrong, but fighting injured. And he's it's just a chance. There's just a chance he's had the sort of break that seasoned fighters, he's 33, need. And if that's the case, he should be too slick. He should be too clever. He should be too smart. And Eubank should, or in theory, doesn't know enough to cut the ring down and box sensibly. And that's what got him beat by Billy Joe Saunders 5 years ago. And that's what got him beat by George Groves last year. He just, as you said, he just didn't know enough. Now, there's no suggestion that in the year or so since the Groves fight, he has managed to much more. But really what lost in the Groves fight, and this is a really important point, was he didn't do enough.
Yeah,
he simply did not do enough. Now, he's hired a guy called Nate Vasquez, a nice enough fellow, a guy that's in and around gyms and been in and around fights, but not necessarily one of the household names that you would train in names. Not a guy you'd associate instantly with being able to transform a fighter in one fight. So we go into this fight hoping that, well, DeGaal hopes that he's still got plenty left, and Eubank hopes that he's picked up some old tricks in the last year, and it'll be enough to overcome a jaded DeGaal. So there's a lot of hope going into this fight. However, and it's about the fifth however, I appreciate that. However, if the Eubank is busier, then he makes this a hard fight anyway. Because if Eubank was busier against George Groves last year, he makes it a hard fight. If Eubank hadn't have had six rounds off against Billy Joe Saunders, he wins the fight. It was a simple fight, the Billy Joe Saunders fight. Billy Joe Saunders won the first six. And the last six, really, Eubank won. And the debate is about who won sort of round eight or who won round six. And that's how the scoring was. So people tend to forget that. Eubank did nothing against George Groves. He walked around the ring thinking that at any point George Groves was going to quit or he was going to catch him and knock George Groves out. It was only at the end of round 10 he realised, oops, I'm basically 9 or 10 rounds down. I better do something. He did, won the last two rounds. So if the Eubank... If Eubank comes out and starts fast, stays fast, uses this engine that he's been talking about for 10 years, the greatest engine in sport, then in theory, he'd be too busy for James DeGaal. But he hasn't done it yet, Eubank. This could be the fight he does it. He's a good enough fighter to beat DeGaal. He's a good enough fighter to beat Groves. But when it comes to the fight with Groves, he didn't do it. When it came to the fight with Billy Joe Saunders, he didn't do it. So he has to do it here. And in many ways, even though he's 4 years younger and he hasn't yet held a proper world title, this is a far more career-defining fight and career-ending fight for Eubank than it is for DeGaal. Mm. Far more. Eubank has to win and he has to look at doing it to move on, because otherwise he can't just keep on trading on his name.
It sounds like you're not a true believer in Eubank, and maybe you think do you think he's all bluster in terms of his talk? And you didn't put much stock in him hiring Vasquez either, and he says that's a big factor.
No, listen, I've seen them together. When a new coach comes in, he walks in full guns blazing, and it like in football, you get rid of everybody there and you take over. This guy's walked in and he's the third bottle carrier in the ring, really. There's Chris Senior, there's Ronnie Davis, and now there's Nat Vasquez. I mean, he's not going to run short of water at the weekend, that's for sure, because he's got three yes men and three bottle carriers in the corner. That's a simple fact. I'm not being harsh on any of them. It's worked for them in the past, other than the two defeats. And in this fight here, someone needs to get the match out, get the firework out, stick it underneath Eubank's backside, light it, because that's what he needs. He needs to rock up his jacksie. It's that simple. If he can come out with a little bit of urgency, if he can scramble and make a fight of it in the first two rounds, then we've got a really interesting fight. If he allows James DeGaal with his southpaw slippery slick skills to move and float and touch and jab, then it'll be a simple romp for James DeGaal. Told a funny story, James DeGaal. He said, Bunchy, I got a text from Eubank last week. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, Eubank said, listen, James, we've got to entertain the public, so I want you to come out and have a fight with me, stand in the middle of the ring. So James DeGaal said to me, does he think I'm crazy? Why would I surrender all of my assets and have a fight with him? So that's a true story, yeah.
What are you going with then, Buncey?
Well, it's an interesting thing, because I went with Eubank against Groves last year, and I got bitterly disappointed. And I'm still a little bit angry with Eubank, because I know what we saw in the Groves fight wasn't the Eubank I know that's there. And I'm just going, I think this is the fight where we see what's really there. And I might call that bet off after a minute of the first round. But I've just got a feeling we're going to see something from Eubank. And it's not doubt that Nate Vasquez, no disrespect to him, or Ronnie Davis, or Chris Eubank Sr. It's down to Chris finally getting up one morning, realising he's not 24, realising he's nearly 30 or whatever, looking in the mirror and saying, I'm fresh as a daisy. I've got to put something into this fight. I've got to take the type of risk my dad took. What made my dad the great British fighter he was he took risks. When it was hard, he went harder. When it was tough, he went tougher. When he was hurt, he tried to hurt them. And that's what Eubank Jr.'s got to do. Everyone keeps talking about his dad is this, his dad that. The one thing no one ever talks about is why hasn't Chris Eubank Jr. tried to do what his dad has done? Mm. And that's fight with his heart and his guts. If he does that, he will beat James DeGale. If he does that. So my gut feeling is he can do that and he can beat James DeGale on points. He can beat James DeGale on points and he can look good doing it. But after a minute, that bet might be off. If he comes out and floats around and doesn't do anything, I'm just going to put my hands in my head. I might even leave the O2 and go and get a burger or something, really. Come back at the end of round 11.
Chris Eubank Jr. to win on points, by the way, is available at 11-4, Bunsey, so that's the bet.
Yeah, that's my bet, yeah. Even though DeGale impressed me yesterday about how fresh he is, I just think this is the time when Eubank, as he says, silences the doubters. And it's not actually silencing the doubters, because he's actually had too many people believe in him. What he's got to do is he's got to come good on his promises. It's as simple as that.
Let's talk about the undercard, because we've got Joe Joyce versus Bermain Stiverne on that undercard. Joe Joyce is incredibly short in the market, 1-25 to win this fight. The draw 25-1 with Stiverne in the market at 9-1. He's only fighting for the 8th time as a professional, Joe Joyce, and he's coming up against an opponent here who hasn't fought since being knocked out by Deontay Wilder in the first round in 2017. Stiverne obviously has to put that performance behind him, and is there a doubt about his fitness coming into this, given he's had so long out of the ring?
Well, there's a doubt about his conditioning, but he was dreadful against Wilder in that first fight. He had previously taken Wilder at a distance when Wilder won his world title, 2016, I think it was. That was against Stiverne. They went the full 12 round, full distance. He was dreadful in the return. He looks better this time. He doesn't necessarily look fantastic, but he looks a lot better. And it's still a test, because Stiverne's a seasoned old campaigner, a tough old boy, but there's something about Joyce, you know. He's a man, he's a seasoned man. He maybe should be the Olympic gold medalist. He lost in the final in Rio, slipped, mildly controversial. He had fought in something called the World Series of Boxing, the WSB, where you fight without a vest. He's had about 18 fights there, and it's over five 3-minute rounds. So he's been a semi-pro for about 4 or 5 years. And he does look a little bit unstoppable at the moment. And he can adapt. He throws simple shots. He puts pressure on. And I just have a feeling that he'll walk through Stiverne. I think the bookies have got it right here. I think it'll be inside 3 rounds. And I think that creates a real tricky problem, because if Stiverne wasn't fighting Joyce, Stiverne could be Tyson Fury's next fight.
Okay.
Without a doubt. So that's what you have to understand. You know, there's no two ways about that. You know, we could have that. People would moan, but Tyson Fury might end up fighting someone whose credentials aren't as good as Bermain Stiverne's. So what this does, this catapults Joe Joyce after just 8 fights into a really odd area. Just below Tyson Fury, just below Deontay Wilder, and just below Anthony Joshua, but in some ways maybe above the chasing pack after 8 fights. It's a really interesting situation for Joe Joyce.
Joe Joyce to win in rounds 1-3, available at 6-5. And on the DeGale Eubank fight, by the way, you won't find a better price on round betting than here at William Hill. So check out all the odds. And we'll finish this podcast just with a quick word on Anthony Joshua and his next opponent, Jarrell Miller. Saturday, 1st of June, this one, Bunsey. Genuinely frosty press conference between the two.
Yeah, what it is, you see, Anthony Joshua has only been in the ring with guys that have liked him or been respectful or haven't said a word or haven't spoken any English. A couple of guys recently haven't spoken any English. Carlos Takam didn't speak any English. Alexander Povetkin, Russian, didn't speak any English. And the guy in the middle, Joseph Parker, was a Mormon preacher. He only preached faith and love. Suddenly, as predicted, for 1 year on this William Hill podcast, so forget that global ambassador rubbish, I'm telling you, we're the global predictors. Lee Phelps and I talked about this a year ago. I said the man Anthony Joshua will fight next year, early next year, so June is early because it's his first fight, will be Jarrell Baby Miller, because he sells the fight, he's an American, it will be in New York. Oh, we were prophets last year. It will be at Madison Square Garden, and Jarrell Miller will get inside Anthony Joshua's head, and he'll start losing his mind, screaming and swearing. Bingo, 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 bingo. And what that is that's plugged into the old Joshua. And there's a really interesting line buried in the melee when the global ambassador was swearing, unbelievable, lost his cool, Joshua. Don't worry about that. And that's always been there. He just lost his cool. And why not? When you're being insulted by someone you don't really respect, lose your cool. I've got no problem with that. But it was a great line from Miller, and it was just buried. You had to really listen carefully. He said, that's it, man. That's what I want to see. I want to see the old Joshua. That's what we got. We got the street kid. We got the kid that was arrested. We got the kid that when he first started boxing, had a tag on his ankle. That's what we got to see. We see it in the ring. We just don't recognize it because he goes in smiling, and he comes out smiling. And he's not just a global ambassador for William Hill. He's all over the place. The man advertising everything. The man's attached to more things than any other fighter in history. That's a fact. That's not me hyping it. But we saw the real Joshua for a moment in New York, and we're going to see it next week in London. Miller's got to him, and I'm in the small minority. I don't think Miller's a bad opponent. He can bang. He's dangerous. He sells tickets, and he's not pushed anyone more deserving out of the way. And in my opinion, that makes him ideal for Madison Square Garden. And it's a hard fight for three or four rounds. And more than that, it's a hard fight if Joshua lets his emotions get the better of him. I was delighted with what I saw.
That's coming up on Saturday, the 1st of June. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website. So just to recap, Bunce is going with Chris Eubank on points, Chris Eubank Jr. on points at 11-4, and Joe Joyce in rounds 1-3 at 6-5. Thank you for your company, Steve.
No, it's absolutely no problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.